Welcome to Black Mask, the frequency of resistance here on CKW 95.9 FM. Today is May 31st, 2006. It's 4:30 p.m. and I haven't had my head near a window for the last hour and a half, so I don't know if it's still raining or not, but if it is, drive safe out there, drivers, because there are people still on bikes and people that are walking around. You don't want to run them over or splash them, you know. Be conscious of that because, hey, would you like to be in their shoes if that happened? A brief rundown of what we're going to do today. It's pretty much a show dedicated to Critical Mass. There will be three interviews. Well, in total for the entire show. There's also going to be an interview done by Joey, whose voice you'll hear shortly. She's interviewing Matt, and she'll also be interviewing someone about film production, and maybe she can chime in about the film stuff that she's just give our listeners a little explanation about all that, the film interview that you're going to be doing. Uh-oh. Hang on. Hello? Are you there? Well, we're going to have to wait because we're having a bit of a snafu with the gear here. Hang on. So anyways, I'm going to read, before we get to that, we're going to get to the Winnipeg Police Service press release, and then we'll listen to a few songs and try to get everybody back on track here. This from the Winnipeg Police Service website from the City of Winnipeg. Their press release as of May 29th, 2006 about the cyclist protest. On May 25th, shortly after 5 p.m., is that even the correct date? I don't think so. So they didn't even remember what day it was properly. That's awesome. Way to stay current. So we can be critical, but we're going to have a whole lot of that right away. So let's just get on with this press release. On May 25th, shortly after 5 p.m., approximately seven cyclists of a group known to police as Critical Mass formed at Central Park and proceeded to ride down the Winnipeg streets, taking up all traffic lanes and impending rush hour traffic. The members of the Winnipeg Police Service escorted the group to Gary Street and York Avenue, where police attempted to speak with the group and inform them of the dangers they were causing and the breaches to the Highway Traffic Act they were committing. The group ignored police direction and continued disobeying the Highway Traffic Act and placing themselves and other commuters in danger. In an attempt to issue members of the group with Highway Traffic Act offense notices, members of this group assaulted police officers and refused to obey directions. As a result, seven people were arrested and are now facing charges of assault peace officer, obstruct peace officer, and Highway Traffic Act offenses. So, there's your primer for this focus of this week's Black Mask. We're going to be back in a few minutes. We're just going to listen to some tunes to get you in the right frame of mind. We're going to hear from Propagandy and some rockin' Swedes named Randy. And then when we come back, we'll go straight into the booth with Joey and Matt. So stay tuned. You're listening to Black Mask here on CKW 95.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Economic and that power now cease. Hearing our story, Getting deported, I listen to CKW 95.9 FM. I gotta go. Listen to CKW, okay?
And we're back here with Black Mask, the Frequency of Resistance, here on CKW 95.9 FM. Hopefully we have everything sorted out. How's it going in there, Joey? Oh boy, still nothing. There we go, how's that?
I think, there we go. We are here. My name is Joey. I'm here with Matt.
Hello,
Matt. So as Ethan was talking about earlier, we are here to talk about some things that have gone on lately in Winnipeg, namely being with Critical Mass, mm-hmm. Which you took part in this past Friday, right?
Yeah, I did.
So some crazy stuff happened, huh?
Yeah, a little bit crazy stuff.
To be vague, and we can get more general and specific, or not more general. Why would we want to do that? We'll get more specific. So maybe we should start by saying, just in brief, what happened at the Critical Mass? Is there a general statement, maybe?
Yeah, sure. I guess cyclists convened at Central Park on Friday at about 4:30, and our ride left at 5 o'clock, and we went throughout the downtown area in a very festive manner. Lots of people dressed in drag, some dressed in other ridiculous costumes. There was a Care Bear there.
That's always helpful. Yeah. Which one? Which Care Bear?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Bear loves a lot.
Loves a lot. That's a good one.
I was never a big fan.
Yeah.
And we rode throughout the streets, making an effort to make a lot of turns so that the same motorists weren't stuck behind us for an extended period of time. So
Critical Massers do care about those in cars.
Critical Massers care about getting the point across in a way that doesn't totally piss people off, you know? Like, the point of Critical Mass, and there's a lot of reasons that people go to Critical Mass, and I guess I can only really speak for myself, but I think a huge reason that a lot of people come out to Critical Mass is, you know, it's to promote alternative forms of transportation, environmentally friendly forms of transportation, and it's also to normalize bicycles as being traffic, you know.
Right.
As cyclists, we're not always respected on the road. Right. We're not always given enough room. It's very dangerous, mm-hmm. and so, you know,
and they are considered vehicles as such.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they need to be respected.
Exactly, and you know, it's dangerous there on the streets, and so we need to sort of begin to ingrain it in our culture that, you know, cyclists are on the road, and we need to be able to get from place to place, and we're not blocking traffic. We are traffic, you know.
Right.
So
would you agree with the statement that it's oftentimes safer being a cyclist in a group of cyclists? And so that's one of the reasons for Critical Mass.
Is definitely. I mean, there's been organized bike rides to and from the University of Manitoba going down Pembina, which is a very dangerous stretch for cyclists to go down on their own. There's lots of potholes and buses. And
it's 60 kilometers an hour.
At 60, yeah. 60 kilometers an hour. And I've been on some of those rides, and it's much safer going there, especially in the underpass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're more visible, for one. We're taking up a little more room. We're taking up an entire lane rather than just getting a small portion of it. And
and
that has definitely given us some security and safety.
And so in terms of this past Critical Mass, the one that just happened on Friday, Ethan read the police statement on, or their press release that they put out. So what? I mean, the police, from that press release, it sounds like there was a lot of, you know, instigation on part of the cyclists to incite the police to have to do something. And so what happened?
I mean
there, it said there was people arrested. This is this is getting into serious business here.
Right. And what happened was, by the time we had gotten to the corner of, I believe it was Gary and Broadway, the police had had a cruiser in the middle of the intersection, blocking off the intersection, and they had cruisers behind us, and totally stopped the bike ride, right? Which at that point was very peaceful. We're making a lot of turns. None of the motorists that we encountered were very upset at all with us. A lot of them were honking and cheering for us and stuff like that. And
so honking in support.
In support, yeah. And, you know, we get to this intersection and everything grinds to a halt and they start grabbing at some cyclists to detain them, arrest them, I'm not sure. And in the first instance, when they grabbed at the first person, a bunch of cyclists sort of like were scared of what they would do to this poor guy, because I mean, you know, it's a minor highway traffic infraction. Why are they grabbing at this cyclist and trying to haul him off? So a lot of cyclists sort of like tried to help him out. And
well, the police statement actually said that they were worried about cyclists and other vehicles' safety. And so do you feel like there was a threat there if they hadn't intervened?
No. I mean, like, we were making the biggest effort possible to keep everybody safe. We were making sure that we all stuck together as a group and that we all made it through intersections as a group. And, I mean, things didn't get dangerous until the police began interfering with the ride. I mean, with the minor disturbance that continuing the ride would have caused, that pales in comparison to the chaos that was created by the police in their attempt to stop it. It was, like, ridiculous.
Right. And so there's accounts somewhere, like, ranging, you know, in the Sun, it said 5 people were arrested. The police statement said 7 or 8.
They took in 9 people altogether. I think actually a couple of them were simply detained. I'm not exactly sure.
Right.
But they altogether 9 people were taken to the public safety building that in relation to that ride.
And so what, in order for people to be arrested, there has to be, even if they're detained and not charged, that's one thing, but there were charges actually laid, correct?
Yeah.
For a number of people?
Some people are facing criminal charges.
And so are you yourself one of these people?
I'm facing 3 criminal charges, pending charges. I haven't been charged officially yet, but my pending charges are 2 counts of assaulting a peace officer and 1 count of obstruction of a peace officer, all of which are just... it's utterly ridiculous.
What is obstruction of a peace officer?
Obstruction, interfering with their ability to...
conduct their peace operations?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. And so because of all this, you have a lawyer now?
I have a lawyer, yeah. And we're looking into not only my defense, but what action, you know, may be taken against the Winnipeg police force or city hall possibly.
So correct me, I'm a bit confused. So you yourself have not been, there's no pending charges in regards to the Highway Traffic Act?
I am not charged with any traffic infractions. In fact, when they arrested me, I was in the correct lane for bicycle travel as per the Highway Traffic Act.
And so maybe I'm naive, but maybe I'm confused. One of the two for sure, because I'm sort of surprised that in order for them to stop you, I would think there'd have to be a Highway Traffic Act infraction.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you to not have a pending charge on that, it is a bit confusing or naive. I don't know which one.
Yeah. from what I've gathered, my assault charges come from when they were arresting me, but why they're arresting me is completely beyond me because I was in the correct lane.
Right, right.
You know, so, you know, it's like we're lunging at you and you just did something to us while we were lunging at you. So, you know, that's the problem. And I didn't do whatever it is they're claiming I did.
Right.
To boot, so.
And are you the Winnipeg Sun that came out this past Saturday? There's a photo of somebody with their neck being stepped on by a peace officer. Do you know who that person is?
Are you talking about the cover?
The cover photo.
Oh yeah, I'm very close with that person. That person was me.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that actually, but which was part of the question, but so I mean that photo illustrates, I mean it seems like there had to have been something that would have brought that on. I mean that's a pretty serious, it's a visceral, like when you see that photo it screams out, okay, this is a dangerous situation that clearly these peace officers had to act.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't understand where that urgency on their part came from. I mean, like, if we are, you know, committing minor Highway Traffic Act infractions, does that warrant them tackling people and pressing their heads against pavement, putting them in headlocks? There's photos of somebody being choked and totally brutalized, mm-hmm. You know, you don't get this sort of response on cruise night when cars, you know, clog city streets to a crawl.
Right.
And, you know, people aren't being pulled out of their cars and slammed on the ground and totally with their rights totally abandoned and
right.
tossed in a paddy wagon, brought downtown and you know, beaten up further. You know, that's right. not happening to people in cruise night. And it's because cars are a normalized form of transportation. They've been normalized as traffic, whereas bicycles, it's just, totally ridiculous for cyclists to be on the road.
Right.
So, you know, we've got to use extreme force to keep them in place. And
Winnipeg's a pretty un-cyclist friendly city.
Oh, yeah.
There's no bike lanes, or there's a couple over some bridges,
right.
but then they end after.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I think it's from listening to you talk, it sounds pretty understandable that cyclists might be frustrated about finding their place on the road.
Right. And I mean, when you have cyclists so frustrated, things like critical mass will happen. And so long as cyclists are disrespected and such, like critical masses and other such actions will probably continue. Like if cyclists were more respected on the road and if there were bike lanes, you know, would critical mass even happen?
Right.
Probably not, you know.
Right. And I mean they happen in numerous cities all over the world, these critical masses. Yeah, and to be totally clear, I took a gander at the Highway Traffic Act, and bikes that have wheels that are over 410 millimeters cannot be on the sidewalk and have to be on a road.
Right.
And so that said, when people are frustrated by a bike or bikes, they have no, that's where they're supposed to be. It would be like a car driving on the sidewalk.
Yeah. You know, I've been threatened by people passing me that say, you know, get on the sidewalk, you idiot. And I've also been threatened by people walking down the sidewalk to get on the road.
Right.
So what's going on, you know? So, I mean, there it is.
It's the new ism, I guess, is whatever. Cycling-ism.
Yeah.
Whoa. so what, I'm really curious to find out, did you end up having conversations with the police about why you were arrested? Like, what happened? What happened when you were arrested? What happened in the paddy wagon? What happened when you were in the holding cell?
What happened? I was, straddling my bike in, and as I said, I was in the proper lane, ready to continue just riding our bikes. And as we were all getting ready to go, I sort of showed it to everybody, okay, stick together, right? Because, you know, it's safer to ride in a group. and we got to watch out for each other and make sure nothing bad happens. And as soon as I said that, one of the officers on the scene looked at me and he was like, no, don't stick together, get him. And so a throng of officers just sort of came at me, right? And when I'm being attacked by a group of people with guns on their hips, yeah, I kind of panic, you know? And so I shuffled forward. I got about maybe like 5-10 feet, and they tackled me from behind and tackled me to the ground off of my bike, and they wrenched my arm.
How many were on you at this point?
They're behind me, I think like two or three at least. I mean, you can see in the picture there's about five or six around me. But, you know, they wrenched my left arm behind me pretty good. My right arm's underneath me. They were pressing my head against the concrete, and I got some scrapes on my eye. And so, you know, they arrested me there. Some bike tools fell out of my backpack, and they were like, oh, he's got a lot of concealed weapons, which was utterly ridiculous. You know, these are to fix my bike. I love my bike, and, you know, sometimes I need to fix it on the go. And
bike tools are pretty tiny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, And so I yelled out repeatedly, you know, I have no weapons. And they were like, I hear you. And I was like, do you understand that I have no weapons? And they said that, you know, they understood that I had no weapons. And then they cut my backpack off of me, which as far as I can tell is kind of illegal to destroy personal property like that. But I'll have to look into that too. And then they put me in the paddy wagon with the seven others arrested. One other person was separately arrested and brought in a cruiser. And I get in there and I see like drops of blood on the ground. And one of the people that was arrested and put in the paddy wagon was, like I said, we have photos of him being like badly choked and manhandled, and his head being pressed up against a curb and all sorts of stuff like that. And so he looked pretty rough. One of the other people, I didn't see it personally, but I've heard several accounts that he was slugged in the face when he got in the paddy wagon. Another guy that got arrested, I didn't see it, but I've heard accounts that he was slammed against the side of the paddy wagon. And it was a scary ordeal. People were really freaking out inside the paddy wagon. And so, you know, they ended up bringing us down to the public safety building, and they asked us a bunch of general questions. Who are you?
But separately, right? Or all together at that point?
We were still all together, and they brought us out of the paddy wagon one at a time and sat us down on the bumper and, you know, asked us, like, name, date, date of birth, and address and stuff like that. And, and then they took me upstairs to a holding cell. They read the charges, or they told the sergeant on duty what I was being charged with, and it blew my mind that they were like obstruction of a PO and assault of a PO, and you know, which just, oh, it totally, I was flabbergasted. And so I asked them to repeat that, and they did, and the sergeant said, you know, do you have any complaints? I said, I don't think I assaulted any POs, to which he responded, you know, your opinion is not a complaint, and, you know, pretty much get in the cell. So they put me in the cell. And about 10 or 15 minutes after being put in the cell, I didn't have a clock with me, so this is just an estimate. But after that, like, the two officers that were handling me came in, and one grabbed me behind the ear and jammed his thumb behind my ear where the jaw connects to my skull, and his finger jammed in my right eye socket and sort of slammed the right side of my face into the cement bench that I was sitting on, and then proceeded to start punching me in the ribs and spine. And, you know, yeah, and this is what's happening to people in custody at the public safety building. I suppose, like, that's what happened to me. And, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And were there words with that? I mean, did he come in to say anything?
Like, as soon as the door opened, it was pretty much immediately on my head, fist to ribs. He was yelling out, you know, never touch a PO, never touch a PO, as he's punching me in the ribs, and he's continuing to punch, and he's like, never do what? And so I had to call out, like, sort of like, you know, a brother sort of twisting someone's arm behind their back, telling them to say uncle, and he's, never do what? So I had to yell out, never touch a PO, and he keeps punching me, and he's like, why? So I have to respond again, so I'm like, because it's illegal, I, you know, and then he stopped, and then after that, he told me to stand up slowly and put my hands against the wall, and then he started trying to pick a fight with me, you know, he's like, oh, you're just a loudmouth, probably never been in a real fight before, why don't we fight right now, I've got no weapons, my partner won't do anything, he'll just watch, it'll be fair, we'll settle this like men sort of thing, you know, and I just stayed silent, because, like, he just wailed on my ribs, I'm not gonna test this guy any further. And then he was like, you know, I'd be more than happy to give you my badge number and my name if you'd like to launch a formal complaint. And then his partner said, keep in mind, that means you'll be seeing us again. Which, you know, like,
I believe
how can
a word
I not take
that
as a threat?
It might be called intimidation.
Yeah. And so, like, so I didn't ask for the badge number or the name, you know?
Wow.
You know, if I do, what am I going to get, more shots to the ribs? You know, what's going to happen? So...
It's funny that the term police officer is, you can use peace officer as well, and I find that's a
I think that's
an ironic situation.
Official name.
A peace officer, yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And so how long were you in the holding cell for? Or this was actually in a cell, not a holding cell at that point, right?
This is just a holding cell, like one person sort of thing. And I was held there for 6.5 hours, 6 hours, 6.5 hours in a boat.
And at that point, had you been allowed to call anyone?
I was never, that's the thing, I was never informed of my right to legal counsel, nor was I offered any legal counsel or a phone with which to contact legal counsel.
Right.
Which is, you know, totally in contradiction to the Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Right.
You know, so.
And so when they came in to finally tell you you could go, how did that conversation happen?
They came in, they acted like they were my buddies, like nothing was wrong. They even used, you know, no hard feelings, no hard feelings, what you did to us, what we did to you, you know, whatever I did to them, I don't know. But, you know, at that point I wasn't going to lip off. I was just like, yeah, no hard feelings. Yeah. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they took me to get my fingerprints, handprints, and then,
that was at the end.
That was at the end. And, you know, yeah. Gave me my property back, informed me what the charges were, which are, like I said, one, obstruct PO, two, assault PO.
And these are pending.
These are pending.
Yeah.
One of the officers is claiming that I pushed him, which is ridiculous. And another one is claiming that I kicked, scratched, and bit another officer. I don't even know which officer this is that's claiming I did that, but, you know.
Wow.
You know, yeah, it's utterly ridiculous, but...
And were there, were you told something or some things upon release, like in order to abide by, that they would let you be released?
There's conditions that I have to abide by from my release, one of which is not talking. I'm not supposed to have direct or indirect contact or communication with the others that were arrested that day. And I'm also not allowed to ride my bicycle downtown. You know, I can drive a car. I can drive a car downtown, but no, I'm not allowed to ride my bicycle.
So you
downtown.
Could like park and walk.
Yeah.
Or you could park your bike. Did they give you?
Yeah.
Did they give you like a map with a radius of what downtown is?
Yeah. Well, I'm not allowed to ride my bike between Notre Dame, Broadway, Sherbrooke, and Main Street.
Hmm.
There's a fair
that's,
chunk of
that's a
land.
Big area.
Yeah, and it's a piece of land that, you know, I got to go through, like, every day.
Right.
You know.
So they gave you your bike back, or somebody took it for you?
My bike was just abandoned at Broadway and Gary, where everything happened, and a friend of mine picked up the bike for me. And okay. So I have my bike back. But...
So what's it like to be told that you can't have conversations with these, with people? Like, I mean, this sounds to me like a pretty... It's nearing a pretty serious accusation to be told you can't communicate with people. Like, this is what like terrorists, you know, I'm using air quotes, are charged. Like, these are pending charges that they have, where it's like these people have maybe made they're pending charges on some serious threats, and this is a bunch of people riding bikes downtown that get together, and now can't talk.
Right. Yeah, I mean...
It just seems to be blown a little out of proportion, maybe?
I think so. You know, I think one thing that the police either can't wrap their head around or don't want to wrap their head around is that critical mass, you know, doesn't have any sort of like leadership or membership or anything like that. And, you know, it's just a movement, a right. general movement. And I mean, this may be their attempt to sort of, you know, dissolve what they perceive to be a leadership, right. but like, of course, nothing like that really exists. So,
and critical mass has, nor I think will ever be, like capital C, capital M, critical mass, where it's this official. Organization of, like, you don't pay membership, you don't.
No, you just you no have such thing wheels. As a membership. It's like Cruise Night. Who yeah. organizes Cruise Night? Who's the Cruise Night organizers? There is none. It just happens.
Right.
And critical mass is the same way. There's no. It just happens.
Right. You know? And I mean, this has been going on. There's a website, actually. It's a critical-mass.info.
Okay.
And it's got a bunch of general and specific info about what critical mass is all over the world, and there's different links. And so on there, it says it's been around since 1992 as an organizing event that happened in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And it's snowballed since then to right. a bunch of cities in the whole world. And so it seems, I don't know, it's kind of interesting to crack down in one city on something that's always been a peaceful event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just about environmental and healthy body awareness.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have to ask yourself what is it about critical mass and a bunch of cyclists riding down the streets cheering that the police find to be so threatening or so just unacceptable, you know, yeah. and what warrants the kind of response that we saw on Friday, you know, in response right. to what is a festive and peaceful,
right.
You know, demonstration, you know.
Were there any conversations, on behalf of the peace officers about, like, I'm curious about, because critical mass, the first critical mass that happened in Winnipeg this year was in conjunction with Charging Bison exercises, right?
I think that was actually the second one.
Was
of
it the second?
Year,
okay.
But...
Well, if you want to get picky, yeah. It's not exactly my line of questioning there, Matt. But yeah, and so that is. Does it feel like what happened this past Friday is leftover, like, taste in the mouth of something that's unfinished, maybe, from Charging Bison?
I can only speak to what my perception of that is, but I definitely think that, yeah, you know, following that incident, we saw an increase in police, I guess... You could
presence?
Call it presence, sure. And, you know, there were bicycle cops. I heard reports of bicycle cops shouting out the names of cyclists throughout that are just riding throughout the Exchange District. You know, people that they thought were involved with the Charging Bison.
You mean this past critical mass that happened?
This was just on the street every day. Like,
oh.
You know, two people riding their bikes down the street and some bike cops shout out their name. You know, it seems like that was an intimidation factor. I was pulled over at one point about, I guess, 8 to 10 days after that critical mass, you know, supposedly fitting the description of somebody who stole a bike. And, you know, they got my name and my address. And it just seemed like there was this campaign of intimidation, it is what it seemed like, against cyclists that look like they could have been at critical mass, or maybe they knew that these are right. cyclists that are actively involved in things like that, and so that they were specifically targeting them.
Right.
And I know that they actually specifically mentioned me being at that critical mass when I was in my holding cell after they had hit me in the ribs a couple of times. You know, they were like, "You think you can fly under the radar at Charging Bison? You know, we saw you there. We know you were there." You know, like, so
wow.
For me personally, there was a clear indication that they had been watching me at that critical mass, and in, you know, the days and weeks that followed, and And maybe that even has something to do with why I was arrested to begin with in this one.
Right.
You know, who knows? And which is a scary thought.
Right.
You know?
So in all that time being arrested, they didn't, and detained, there was no lengthy conversations or questioning of you about your involvement in either critical mass or what Charging Bison was? They just had you sit quiet in a cell for 6 hours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was essentially, you know, every 2 hours or so somebody would poke their head in and try and confirm my name and my birth date, which they got completely wrong anyways, but, yeah. So.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we'll wrap up this talk.
Okay.
But we can have more later on, and especially as things progress. Your lawyer, of course, knows you're here and having this conversation. And I mean, as court dates approach, we'll, I'm sure, have more conversation.
Okay.
Anything final that you'd like to say there, Matt?
Yeah, I guess I think it's important that people are really conscious of what the police are doing in this city.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I got, what my treatment was, is less than what a lot of people have gotten. You know, I think other people have gotten more for doing less than what I did in the city. And I think a lot of it actually has to do with cultural and racial background as well. I think we have to really take a deeper look at the Winnipeg Police Force, not just in relation to critical mass, but in relation to how they are conducting themselves with everyone throughout the city.
Well, great. So that's something for people to consider and look into. All right. Well, thanks, Matt. Folks, stick around. We'll have more stuff ahead for you. You're listening to Black Mask on CKUW 95.9 FM.
All cars from the city, because they build prisons, but close hospitals and schools. Because neither the sun, the moon, nor the stars are for sale. Because corporate greed destroys lakes, rivers, forests. Because I'm not afraid to dream. Because I refuse to remain silent. One homeless family is too much. Because the state blames and attacks the poor, but rewards its friends. Because no fat cat lying politician ever has to wait for the bus. Because I want social revolution.
Welcome back to Black Mask, the frequency of resistance here on CKW 95.9 FM. Thanks to Matt and Joy for that great interview. And we're going to continue our coverage about the critical mass, most recent critical mass, May 26th, as misquoted on the Winnipeg Police Service news release.
Oh, really?
Yes. Joining me now is Andy Bloom. Welcome
Hi.
To the show.
Thank you.
Yes, they in their press release... on the 29th of May, they state the date of the action on the 25th.
Oh, really?
Of May, which is
so
a terrible inconsistency.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe they'll pay more attention to that.
Yeah,
in
they're not known for their preciseness on certain forms. Sometimes you might say
it's unfortunate. But,
yeah,
but what we want to talk about and what our listeners are eager to hear from, we heard from a listener just before I came into this interview room who really appreciated the information in the interview that Joey and Matt just conducted. And so to sort of follow through on our coverage of the critical mass of May 26th, for our listeners, could you, Andy, tell us in detail about your participation with this critical mass?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, I showed up, at Central Park there about 4:30 or so, and the ride was starting at 5. Just for, if anyone saw the mass or was there, I was wearing the blue teddy bear suit with the red heart and the giant plush head while riding a tall bike. So, yeah, and, like, tons of people were dressed up in costumes. It was great. We were having a fun time. When we started the mass, like, before we started, we discussed, like, okay, what are we doing? Let's stick together and, ride as one unit. And it was really good. As we were riding around, I was going past motorists and as they were stopped, people were corking and whatnot. And, the smiles on people's faces were great. I was, like, waving at them and it was just fun, And some people came out and joined us that were just happened to be there on their bikes or on their skateboards or whatever. And it was really fun until we got to the intersection of Portage and Main. And that was being controlled by traffic cops because the lights were out, I guess. So when we turned, I guess they obviously saw the mass, so they called in for some other officers to come down and either escort us somewhere or guide us, whatever. So I forget, I think it was Gary that we turned on to after on St. Mary, then on to Gary. And by that time, cops were around us and trying to corral us and stuff like that. It was really, really unclear about what was happening because a cop kind of, they started blasting their sirens, trying to go past us and almost hit a few motorists. It was kind of scary because it's like, well, what's happening here, right?
Right.
Then the police officer kind of pulled in front, blocking everyone. And then he gave some sort of directions of some sort. It was very, very vague and unclear. And He seemed really, really angry at the entire thing. But then basically he allowed us to pass. Like, we all went past and he didn't do anything. By the time we turned onto Broadway, we got down maybe a block or so, and that's when kind of like the real conflict happened.
Right.
I don't know how it started, because it was somewhere near the back, and I was more towards the front. But what I do remember, I went back, and then I remember seeing just a pile of cyclists just kind of like, well, for one, bikes everywhere, because people are just kind of like running around, and I saw cops grabbing people left and right, and I didn't know what was going on. But there was just a pile of bodies of people just like lying there. I remember looking at the whole group being like, so is there someone getting arrested in there? Or is there a cop under there? And, you know, a few looked at me, they're like, no, we're just hanging out right now. So I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. And then after about like a couple minutes or a few minutes, like, it all happened so quick, right? But we were allowed to leave. It was allowed to be like, okay, you guys can go, like, kind of keep riding kind of thing. And it seemed like everything, like, kind of settled down. And then we started going, and then I saw a couple officers tackle Matt off his bike. And that was so intense. And then next thing I know, he was on the ground being kneed in the head, and it was, I couldn't believe it. Then at one point, like, it all happened really quick. I think I'm, and picture this also, I'm in my blue Care Bear suit running around, and
right.
And there's all this commotion. But I mean, I got to, what was it? I got around on one angle, and I could see Matt's face, and the agony was kind of like on the cover of The Sun. If our listeners saw that, it's a pretty intense picture. So, yeah, basically, I was there, and I got picked up in the whole thing and brought into the police van, into the wagon, and then one officer struck me in the face. I can identify this officer, so that's good. But either way, yeah, I got struck in the face and was detained for about 5 hours down at the public safety building. I think I was probably the second last one let out. But
and what was your time like at the PSB?
Well, one of the most, I showed up there, and like, for one, I was not read my rights or anything like that. I was the first one pulled out of the wagon. Oh, well, I should mention too that when I went into the wagon, Marcel's face was all bloody and bleeding everywhere. So I tried to wipe off some of the like the dirt and like just rubbish that was kind of like all mixed in with his cuts and whatnot. And then I saw Bo get slammed against the back wall of the wagon. It was really, really intense. But yeah, once we got to the station, I was the first one pulled out, and yes, I was also the second last one to leave. But I remember the cops tried asking me questions like, oh, what were you doing riding there? Why were you out there? You guys didn't accomplish anything. Why are you doing this? And then I just decided not to talk, because that's probably the best thing to do in that scenario. So I just kind of looked down and just shook my head and like just didn't acknowledge what he said, right? Then he goes, oh, so you're going to play that game, right? I was like, I just kind of look up, just shrug my shoulders and just keep looking down, like not responding to what he's saying verbally or anything. And then he goes, ah, jeez, you know, all you anarchists think you know what's up. You guys think that we're the Gestapo or something like this. You think that we're the bad man. And he's telling this to me and to his partner, like informing his partner about like anarchist culture. Like, this is what we do, you know, we don't know anything. And he's like, you have no clue. You have so many rights. You guys, you know, we're not even yelling at you or anything like this. And I was just kind of like, just looking down, not acknowledging what he's saying. It was totally ridiculous.
Do you feel like he was antagonizing you to get a reaction?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, it just kind of like, it's funny because at the time then, I was just kind of like, whatever, I'm just not going to pay any attention to what this person says.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they purposely do when you're detained is they want to antagonize you. They want you to do something so that they can get a reason, a chance. Like, this kind of thing. Like, you know, give me one reason. Give me just one reason to fight you kind of thing. Or whatever. Not necessarily to fight you, but one reason for anything that we, so we can do whatever.
Right, to turn the situation against your favor.
Exactly.
And more towards their favor.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was so funny because, like, every now and then they would open up the cell door or whatever, the interview room.
Mm-hmm.
They would open it up and then poke their head in, and he would be like, oh, it stinks in here. Oh, my God, you stink. And then walk away.
Right.
And it's kind of like, that's... It's juvenile is what it is, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a way to try and just put them just above me that much more. But it's kind of like, you're the one being offended by this, even if I did smell, you know? But it's like, it's such a base reaction. It was mm-hmm. really, like, it was just really, like, interesting noting that, like, how they reacted to it and stuff.
And did it, at any time while you were in that interview room, did they come into... read you your rights or issued you charges?
No, they never read me my rights. The only thing ever happened was when I was being walked towards the detainment room, he was like, looks at the sergeant and goes, "Sarge, obstruct PO." And then he looked at me, he's like, "Do you understand that charge?" And I was like, "Yes." And then I went in and that was it. Then when I was inside, I went through the routine procedure of filling out, you know, name, address, things like that.
Did they fingerprint you?
Yes. After about 4 hours, they took me to go get fingerprinted. I asked how many were still in custody. They're like, "Oh, you're about the third one so far. We got about maybe another 9 left to go," which I knew was a lie because I knew that everyone else had been left out because the way that it's set up in the public safety building mm-hmm. is that it's kind of like two hallways with it's two hallways side by side. And the cells are all kind of facing each other. So I would bang on the walls, and I could kind of tell who was in what cell.
Yep.
Because before they turned on, oh, my God, they blasted Q94 so loud. Oh.
This is a very common description.
So, yes. Oh,
just so our geez. Listeners know, it's like hanging outside the 7-Eleven and listening to country music to keep the kids away.
Yeah, no, that's what it is, yeah. Essentially. But also, when the music was on, there were certain points where they would turn it louder
yeah.
for about 5-10 minutes at a time.
Right.
So I can only speculate at what they might have been doing during that time, right?
Yeah.
Possibly beating people.
Yeah.
But anyways, so... yeah, so music was terrible. But but I knew that, yeah, back to what I was getting at before, I knew that I wasn't the second or third person to go through the processing. Mm-hmm. But that, because I had been banging on the walls, and I knew that they weren't there anymore. And I, just by, like, also the mannerisms of the banging on the wall, I could kind of tell which of my friends were over there, right?
Did you know pretty much everybody that was in the wagon with you when you got in?
Pretty much. The only person I wasn't too familiar with was Marcel. But, I mean...
Right.
Yeah. But everyone else, yeah, I'm like extremely close friends with. I would see them every single day, you know.
Right.
But
cuz this sort of leads me to sort of how the police might understand this community of activism.
Yeah.
You know, and the expectation that this loose-knit group of anarchists of people are just there to cause trouble and raise the rabble and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, maybe try to get in fights with cops because that's a form of thrill-seeking. But actually, the people that ended up being detained both times on the 3rd and the 26th
mm-hmm.
are people that have invested a ton of time of their personal time in organizing and other forms of activism within the Winnipeg
mm-hmm.
community, provincially, nationally, and internationally.
Yeah.
And that these aren't the people that they hoped to
yeah,
to
yeah,
arrest. You
yeah.
know, they don't fit the stereotype, so we can tell that their intelligence that they've been receiving is very poor.
Oh, yeah.
Because they, the impression that I'm being left with, the more I talk to folks about it, is that they underestimate the people that they're arresting and
yeah.
detaining, and that they don't know what their rights are or what they're actually doing in this critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dangerous assumption to
yeah.
be making.
Yeah. It was interesting at one point when the officer kept trying to talk to me during the whole processing, he was just like, "So you guys kind of have your weird little culture or something almost. Hey, like, you guys all hang out your headquarters there at the Mondragon and whatever. I was just like, at that point, I was speaking with the officer. I was like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Because it just, you know, like, their idea of it is just so skewed, and it's like, they think it's like this underground society of, like, mm-hmm. people, you know, whatever, making bombs and things like that, when it's really just, you know, there's the Mondragon, which is a restaurant and bookstore,
right.
with, you know, a bike store underneath.
Yeah.
And right. it's just a bunch of kids that, you know, want to raise awareness on issues. And, yeah.
Which to me highlights the major gap in this whole issue, these circumstances, is that with this underestimation and this poor intelligence that they have gathered to try to analyze and organize their set of tactics to deal with the critical mass participants,
mm-hmm.
is that because they don't know who they're dealing with, they assign immediately the wrong tactics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And give certain cops far too much leeway, or perhaps certain officers of the peace take too much leeway,
yeah.
in dealing with people. However, you know, like, if all the people that have been arrested or detained had been sort of grabbed by the arm and pulled to the side and said, okay, look, here's what's going to go down with mm-hmm. you and me, and, like, dealt with responsibly as opposed to yeah. violently, the situation, all the violence, all the stress, all the problems that have been generated, all the bad publicity mm-hmm. for the city and for the Winnipeg Police Service,
yeah.
and the smearing of the participants would have abated.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny. I heard a really, really great example, like a good parallel, which is, you know, let's say you're driving your car and you're not wearing your seatbelt and you pull off to the side, and then the cop comes over, and instead of issuing you a ticket on the spot right there and letting you go, he pulls you out of the car, beats you up, throws you in the wagon, and leaves you in a detainment for 5 hours, 6 hours,
right.
and possibly even, you know, assault you in
right.
several instances. And that's like, so if you take it in that mentality, it's like, well, that's completely absurd. Well, so is this, right? When people would say, like, what, you guys were, you know, running red lights and there's traffic violations, it's like, okay, maybe, but does that warrant the sort of response that was given?
Right.
No.
And giving, you know, your certain rights on the Charter of Rights and Freedoms about... Mm-hmm. what is a legal protest and your freedom of association.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, you get into the gray area, the politics of actions like this.
Yeah.
It's not organizing a critical mass, as far as I understand it, is not with the sole purpose to stir it up and to get, like, so that you can break the law.
Yeah.
It's to highlight the infractions against cyclists within the parameters of law.
Yeah.
You know, how little space you're actually allowed in the Highway Traffic mm-hmm. Act on the road.
Yeah.
And how you're allowed to interact with vehicles and other pedestrians.
Yeah.
And it's just, these seem to be thought of as superfluous, or like a sidebar.
Yeah.
Because the main thing is these people, you know, not letting the people that pay more tax
yeah,
on their
yeah.
vehicles and their gas and mm-hmm. their insurance not have more freedom.
It's basically. Funny, even in the way that the debate could be framed in some instances, I will admit that the media, for the most part, has been fairly fairly good in terms of reporting on the events.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the way how people contextualize what happened, it's like, well, were you guys just riding your bikes in circle, like in the middle of the street blocking traffic? It's like,
right.
well, no, we were riding our bikes to a certain destination. And then when it's explained, like, you know, I was explaining that to a relative of mine, and he was like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And, like,
right.
then that was totally ridiculous. Also, in terms of also to go back to how they look at this, the whole phenomenon of critical mass, is one question that's constantly asked by all the officers is, you know, who's the leader?
Right.
Who's the leader? They're always right. trying to find that head person. And it's funny because they'll always go after some older person, like, who might be actively involved,
mm-hmm.
but in no way has any sort of decision-making power, but because they might have some sort of status within the community of some sort, they'll pick them off as a leader.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, they're never going to go after, like, you know, the 20-year-old student and say, like, okay, well, they must be the leader. So, like, they're picking out certain people from the crowd and assuming that they're leaders
yeah.
while giving a heavy-handed approach to, you know, the one, like, just regular kids riding their bikes. Right.
We're going to take a quick music break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Andy and hopefully some other guests that have been scheduled to come in. And you're listening to Black Mask, The Frequency of Resistance. We'll be right back.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California, well, to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. I tell ya, this land was made for you.
Everybody, it's time to get up.
It's going to be a great day today.
So let's go!
CKUW 95.9 FM presents the 7th Annual Ellis Street Festival, Saturday, June 10th from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. between Sherbrooke and Langside. Come on down and enjoy the festival. There'll be lots of fun activities for the whole family, including face painting, carnival games, clowns, magicians, jugglers, bouncy houses, street hockey, basketball, a barbecue, and lots of live local music. Some of this year's performers include Jazz on Wheels and the Sudanese Traditional Dinka Dancers. For more information, call 783-6918. That's the 7th Annual Ellis Street Festival, Saturday, June 10th.
CKUW 95.9 FM, Assiniboine Credit Union, and the Manitoba Government and General Employees Union present the 5th Annual Run for Rights, Saturday, June 10th, 2006. The Run for Rights is a yearly event organized and coordinated by a dedicated group of volunteers working to raise money for and awareness of peace, social justice, and human rights. Walk, cycle, run, wheel, or blade either the 5 or 10 kilometer route along the Red River on Scotia Street from Kildonan Park to St. John's Park and back. Participants can collect pledges for one of the following groups: Amnesty International, Canada-Haiti Action Network, Canada-Palestine Support Network, Indigenous People Solidarity Movement, Institute for Community Peacebuilding, LIGHT, No Sweat Manitoba, Respect, Welcome Place, and REN. Registration takes place in Kildonan Park between 8:30 a.m. and 9 a.m., with the run starting at 9:30 a.m. For registration and pledge forms, call 977-1000. The Run for Rights is open to everyone. Thank you.
CKUW 95.9 FM.
More flavor than a pistachio.
That's right, CKUW. More flavor than a pistachio.
Hells yeah!
Hells yeah!
Welcome back to Black Mask, the Frequency of Resistance. Yes, this show does have more flavor than a pistachio. And the whole station does, actually. Because we're not pistachios, we're human beings, and it's a totally different taste.
Yeah, humans do taste different than pistachios.
True. Yeah. Like cannibals like maintain chicken. That human beings taste like pork.
I thought it was chicken.
Or chicken. See? Yeah. Contrasting, I've heard pork, chicken.
There we go.
Mm, does go well with the chicken.
Maybe it does taste like pig.
Oh, come on now. Let's be gentle. We don't want you to get in any more trouble than you already are. We're back. Of course, it's Black Mask. We're getting close to the end of the show. We have about 10 minutes left here with Senor Andy Bloom.
Hola.
Thanks again for coming down and taking time out of your insane schedule. Mm-hmm. You showed me your day planner, and it looked very hectic. And we do really appreciate it. And I know that our listeners do appreciate hearing personal accounts about what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked off air about wanting to get into the more specifics of your case and the charge that you've been given, which is obstruct peace officer.
Yes.
Now, you described earlier that when you were at the public safety building that you were taken past the desk sergeant and mm-hmm. he asked you if you understood what obstruct PO means.
Yeah.
And how do you interpret that?
Yeah, see, at the time, it was like, do you understand these charges? And it was like, okay, I understand that I am being charged with this thing that is obstruct PO. So I took mm-hmm. it as kind of like, am I in the mental frame of mind to understand, like, this situation that's happening? And so I agreed. I was like, yes, I agree. I'm going to be in charge. But I don't understand what, you know, obstruction of justice or obstructing PO, what exactly does that entail? Because, for example, like assault can be anywhere, anything from like touching a police officer, touching a police officer's car, their dog or their horse, you know, like right. anything along those lines, even just like laying one finger on, they will charge you with assault, or they can, and they have the ability to, right? And so obstructing justice could be anything from verbally getting in the way of them detaining someone, let's say. Or it can be something like physically getting away with them detaining someone.
Right.
And so that's how I would interpret it. But like obviously the whole law surrounding it entails so much more. And
so I wonder if you were able to reverse this or go back in time and that be in that same situation again and the desk sergeant asking you that same question. I wonder if it was also your opportunity to clarify what the charge is.
I probably could have, yes.
Yeah. And at no time in any of the time that you were sort of quote-unquote interviewed in the interview room or processed by fingerprinting, nobody offered an opportunity to explain what obstruction PO means.
No, you see, the thing is, when you're going through the whole process, through the system there, you're not given that opportunity. The opportunity might be there, but they don't give it to you. You have to take that opportunity, uh-huh. right? They put you in such a position that you feel like you have no rights, no word, and nothing can happen. Mm-hmm. Although the reality is like you do, and there are certain things you can do, like with extreme limitations, because you know you're locked inside a room for however many hours. You know, there's not too much you can do. But yeah, if I were to go back, maybe it would have been a smart thing to actually clarify exactly what that meant and what I was facing and whatnot.
Now, what holds for your future? You have these charges. Have you met with anyone in particular? You don't have to name any names, but
no,
have
I've,
you taken any steps towards dealing with your charges?
Well, I am dealing with things. I've consulted with legal aid about what I need to do. One thing I do want to mention is that I was released on certain conditions.
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah, yeah, the conditions are... They seem very, very absurd, where it's I'm not allowed to have be in communication with any of the other arrestees. So I can't talk to all the other people. And I'm also not allowed to ride my bike downtown, which
We have the explanation of your boundaries.
Yeah, it's...
the area bound between Sherbrooke to Maine and Broadway to Notre Dame while riding a bicycle.
Yes, so I will be at the next Critical Mass, even though my court date is not till the 21st of July, because I, you know, I can ride a tricycle. It says I can't ride a bicycle.
Right.
But I'm sure a tricycle is well within the law of my undertaking. So.
Or a unicycle.
Or a unicycle, but I don't know how. I've tried. I.
What about a skateboard? Or
a skateboard, yeah, or shopping cart, you know. I mean, I can find other wheeled instruments to go on.
Well, that's great.
Roller skates.
And so you did meet with Legal Aid. And,
yes.
And did they explain your charge to you at that time? Or?
Yeah, they explained a little bit about what I was facing. Right now, what I'm most – because with the charge, it's really easy to get for me to get in the frame of mind where this charge is – you know, it's obstruct PO. It's my thing I have to deal with. But the thing is, there's a very large community backing me, which I'm very, very fortunate of, because if there wasn't this – like public support for what for the victims of this situation, you know, I would be in a lot of trouble. Yep. But because of all this, I'm fairly confident that the charges will, you know, get dropped or at least get stayed or something, right? What I'm most concerned with now is being able to communicate with my friends once again and being able to ride my bike because, you know, right. I go to the University of Winnipeg, which is right in the heart of my boundaries. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's. That's an interesting situation to be in, but these are fairly commonplace conditions of release. In my time sort of analyzing procedure and things like this, legal procedure, and interacting with folks that have these any variety of charges, that mm-hmm. there are always, you know, conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they range from, you know, they can get even more vague and obscure or specific.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, my question still is, you know, has your lawyer, through Legal Aid, talked to you about the process now? Like, what steps are to be taken?
Mm-hmm. Basically, so far, like, I haven't received... I've consulted with Legal Aid, but I haven't actually gotten a lawyer yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but I do understand, like, I need to show up for court. If I don't have, like, my own lawyer present at that moment, like, you know, I'll have someone mm-hmm. there to present represent me. But, yeah, I'll go through that process, and then I think that's when I'll be able to state, you know, guilty, not guilty, and go through with
right,
a little bit of that process.
Plea,
yeah.
And then... You know, and then start the trial process,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then, you know, who knows? Because sometimes you hear, and I can't give any specific details, but sometimes you hear in the community about officers not bothering to show up at certain hearings.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, thereby nullifying the case.
Yeah.
Because there's no supporting mm-hmm. evidence or testimony.
Yeah, and also, like, in regards to something like this, when the police force was just so strong and there's so much public support, there's so much media coverage mm-hmm. of the event and what happened, and not to mention the fact that there's going to be even another mass before the court date,
yeah.
I could very well see, you know, those officers getting told to even specifically, like, don't bother showing up to this one.
Yeah.
This is not... You know, not worth it politically.
Well, we would hope.
That's you know,
that's the hope,
right? I'm obviously very optimistic.
Yeah. Well, we just have a few minutes left. I'd really like to take this time to thank you for coming down.
Yeah,
Andy.
I'd say thank you for letting me be on the air.
Absolutely. Anytime. And if there's any update or any information or experiences further, because we here at Black Mask are concerned about harassment as well,
mm-hmm.
post
yeah.
action.
Post incident, yes.
And, you know, there are rumblings of certain things happening already, you know, sketchy cell phone reception and
mm-hmm.
indicating possibility of tapped phones and things like that. So if you at any time feel like you have information that you want to share, you know, just stop by
yeah, no problem.
And get in contact with the station, because there are lots of shows, not just this one, that are mm-hmm. engaging the community in this issue.
Yeah, so, that's good.
We're your friends. And we want to help as much as we can.
Great,
so.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for coming down. I think we have a bit of music to take us out. And then that'll be this week's Black Mask for May 31st. Holy.
I got to move today.
Yeah. Oh, moving day.
No, I'm not moving.
And we'll be back next week with more Critical Mass coverage on Tuesday. And it will be a live rebroadcast. And I'm contradicting myself. It's a rebroadcast next Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. And that will be June the 6th, I believe.
Are you sure?
June the 5th, 6th? 6th. Yeah. So there we go. Thanks for listening. We're going to be talking to you very soon. This has been Black Mask for Joey Jacob and all the other contributors to this show. My name is Ethan Oslin. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week.